You're listening to the Queen of Manifesting Podcast. Welcome to the Queendom. In this podcast, the Queen of Manifesting herself, Kelly Walker, will teach you how to manifest everything you need to live your purpose at a higher level. And now, your Queen, Kelly Walker.
Hey, it's Kelly Walker. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we have a fun guest. His name is Charleston Gaines. And I don't know if you guys are that familiar with me to know that my maiden name is Gaines. And so we may be related, Charleston. We probably are. As far as I know, all the Gaineses came from a line in Wales that came to America, I think in the 1700s. So we probably are related. So that's awesome.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah. So Charleston has a really cool perspective on manifesting. And it involves being emotionally intelligent. And as you know, I've done some episodes on emotional management because you can't manifest anything good if you are in a low vibrational state, which is caused by negative emotions. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about it and the knowledge he's got to share with us today. So let us welcome Charleston Gaines to the podcast. Charleston, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm grateful for being here. And part of me just wants to call you cousin.
Right. We tell we are.
But, you know, for me, I spent 20 years in the Air Force. I'm a disabled veteran. And I can tell you that throughout my career in the Air Force, just the way the military works, there's a lot of misery.
Ooh.
I lost a lot of people to suicide. There are other instances of murder, suicide. So there's also people who would like to die by suicide, but they don't. And, you know, we're not going to get all into the science of suicide. But my point is that I had to figure out what's going on. So although my career had nothing to do with mental health, it's something that I took on personally to pursue. And so I'm a PhD candidate in health psychology. And I'm certified trauma professional, DOD master resilience trainer. And I took all of these different schools of thought and ideas, and I thought about there's gaps there. For example, when you look at resilience training, how does resilience training apply to suicide prevention? How does trauma apply to suicide compared to positive psychology? And to me, the answers always led me back to emotional intelligence. So I said, let me study that. Let me master emotional intelligence because it is the foundation for proactive prevention. When you understand what you feel, why you feel that way, how you express and experience those emotions, then you're in a position to do something about it. Excellent. And if you're unable to do that, then quite often you'll make a move after it's too late.
Yeah.
And so emotional intelligence is the key really to empower people to take care of themselves.
Right? I love that.
Yeah. And so really that's what it is for me. So many things I've seen, I had to figure out a solution. I had to figure out the why and the how, and it always led back to emotional intelligence.
That's awesome. And it totally makes sense. Have you read Your Emotional Fingerprint?
No, I haven't.
I bet you would really like this. I use this for my own emotional management. When I get triggered by something, this book tells you why you get triggered.
Okay.
Because of, he has you choose these importances in your life. So things that make you feel important. And when they get, any of those things get violated, that's when you get triggered. But it goes right along with what you're saying. So I recommend this book to you and listeners. Your Emotional Fingerprint is a really good resource. Do you have a favorite book about emotional intelligence? Or have you written one yet?
I'm in the process of writing a book.
Yes, that's awesome. Good.
But my book is, again, it's a combination of all of these different subjects.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence, positive psychology, there's neuroscience sprinkled in there. So for me, I'm writing a book on that. But as far as my favorite book goes, when you understand that all of these things really work together, mm-hmm. and you understand that you can read about emotions without reading about emotions. And I'm saying that to tell you that my favorite book is The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, I've heard that. I haven't read it yet, but I hear so many people recommend that.
It's incredible because there's so much science, neurophysiology in it, but at the same time, it helps you recognize what's going on. There's a reason why you feel certain emotions in certain parts of your body.
Yes.
Like the term sick to your stomach comes from somewhere.
Right? Yeah. This book is kind of like that too, the Healing Questions Guide. When you trap an emotion somewhere in your body, it lets you know, right?
It really does, but that's where emotional intelligence comes in. That's the why. Why do I feel nice. That here? Because that's where my body trapped it. And so that's where the neurophysiology and the emotional intelligence combine. And what people don't know about that book,
yeah,
is Dr. Bessel van der Kolk was treating children, and he had, and one of the children, what he would do is he would have children draw pictures.
Okay.
And one of the children drew a picture a certain way. And Dr. van der Kolk said, "Why did you draw this? What does this mean?" And that child said to him, "The body keeps the score."
What? Oh my gosh. That's deep.
Yeah.
The kid said that.
Yeah. And so it clicked with him. And so his book is titled after what a child said.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dr. Bessel van der Kolk.
Okay, awesome. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, his last name is van der Kolk, K-O-L-K.
K-O-L-K. Cool. Yeah.
And in addition to that, all of Brené Brown's work. So there's that.
Yeah, right? That's true. I love her. She's my spirit animal. I've been saying that for like 4 years now. Brené Brown is my spirit animal. I love her. That's awesome. So that's really interesting that you got to this by way of the military and the trauma of that. That's fascinating and very needed. Veterans, oh my goodness. I can't imagine the trauma and the suicide rate among veterans is so high.
Yes, yes. And even this past week, everything related to Afghanistan is really is really overwhelming to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so for me, the foundational way to manage that, of course, is emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So tell me how one manages their emotional intelligence.
Well, you know, so to me, the two foundational pieces I focus on are self-awareness and self-regulation, right? We usually say emotion regulation, right. But I say self-regulation because it's really the entire body.
True. Yeah.
And so first of all, again, self-awareness is what you feel, why you feel that way, and how you experience and express those emotions. So you have to be able to answer those questions before you can do anything about it. And an example I'll give you is when you are huffing and puffing out of breath, you're sweating, your heart is beating fast, what are you going to do about it? Well, it depends on why. Did you just finish a 5K?
Right.
Or are you having a heart attack or you got bad news? So you have to know why.
Or are you being chased by a killer?
Yeah, right. It's so different, right? Because what you can do is you can be proud that you just finished the 10K.
Right.
And so, but once you figure out why, then you can do something about it. And there's the self-regulation, the neuroscience piece of it, which is what's happening in the brain. And so did your body recognize or identify something as a threat? So is your threat response turned on? And so you don't think my threat response is turned on. What you think is, I can't believe that clown did that to me. Screw that guy. So in reality, there's no threat, because maybe someone did something to you and they walked away. You feel disrespected. And it goes back to what you were saying about your importance, right? So I've been disrespected. Mm-hmm. And so part of self-awareness is recognizing there's no threat here. But your brain thinks there's a threat. So your brain is saying, your brain can't tell what kind of threat it is, whether you're being chased by a tiger or someone said something mean on Facebook. Your brain can't tell the difference. So the brain is like,
those are pretty different.
Right. But the brain is like, well, let's relax the lungs so we can get more air through there faster. And let's speed up the heart rate so we can get the blood and the oxygen where they need to go for us to survive, and the cortisol and the adrenaline. And all that's going on while you're sitting at your computer mad.
So, is that the fight or flight response happening?
It really is. That's okay. Exactly what it is. And so you have to turn that off and turn on the relaxed response, which is the secretion of dopamine and serotonin. And so your brain sends these signals to your body. Hey, we're under attack. You have to use your body to send a message back to your brain. No, we're not. So okay. The way you do that is you take a slow, deep breath. Look, brain, I don't need lots of extra oxygen. And so you take the slow, deep breath to control you. You do a body scan. Let me relax my shoulders, relax my jaw, breathe deep. And when I do that, I'm going to slow my heart rate. What other muscles in my body are tense that don't need to be? Let me relax them.
I love that.
So now your body is telling your brain, there's no imminent threat, we can relax.
I love it.
Yeah. So when someone says that your emotions or your fear or you're feeling threatened or whatever is all in your head, it's not true. It is an entire bodily response. It's physiological. That's why when you feel extreme happiness or sadness, it's not emotion rolling down your face. Those are tears. It's physiological.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. It's not all in your head. It's all in your body.
Right.
Wow. That's cool. So I think one of the keys to manifesting is keeping yourself out of trigger, keeping yourself not upset. And so I think this really relates to it, because it is funny because I have seen comments on Facebook that have got me like that, where I've been like, oh, what? And been very upset. In fact, I even saw one yesterday that got me a little riled up. So that I think that's really common. And as someone who was trying to manifest better things, I don't want to spend any time in those lower vibrations of, you know, fear or anger or jealousy or resentment. You know, I want to hurry up and get back to gratitude. Gratitude is my favorite vibration. That's where I always want to live. And that is so much better for manifesting and really for everything, your mental health, your physical health. So I love that it's all related.
Yes, it is. And I love that you bring up gratitude, because gratitude works the same way when I talk about managing your emotions.
Ooh, tell me about that.
You cannot be, and you can test me on this, go for it. You cannot be angry and grateful at the same time.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. And so what happens when you're angry, it turns on your stress response. Oh, we're mad. What are we going to punch? What are we going to kick? Right? So there's the adrenaline, there's a cortisol, you know, and the cortisol is for survival, because the brain doesn't know when the emergency is going to be over.
Right.
And then what you do is you say, I'm grateful for the opportunity to have learned that lesson. And then the brain thinks, so good. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a threat. maybe we can turn off the adrenaline.
Yes.
And then when you talk about anger, especially because anger sometimes is a symptom of a foundation of misery in your life. Like, you are going to be angry this afternoon no matter what happened.
It was already building up.
It was because of just our perspective on things. So that's why we have to intentionally choose gratitude. And then when you're talking about manifesting, for me, it's okay. I'll make it simple and plain.
Okay.
What can you manifest when you're an emotional wreck?
Only other things to bring you down emotionally.
So that's where the emotional intelligence and manifesting come together.
Yeah.
Because you have
totally
to be.
Do.
Yeah, you have to be fully self-aware. You can say things like, I want to manifest a lot of money. Well, if you're broke and you find $5 in the street, is that really what you wanted? No, it really, and maybe the answer is yes, but if you don't know the answer to that question, you're not going to manifest anything.
Right.
And so,
be specific.
And then the work that's involved in manifesting is hard to do when you're angry or when you're sad or when you're fearful. So you have to manage those emotions.
Yeah.
And a big part of managing those emotions is recognizing that they're valid, recognizing that it's okay to feel that way.
Right.
You know, because if you are in the process of manifesting a new level of happiness in your life, you can't use it as an excuse to deny the hurt of someone you love betraying you. You have to manage all of that. You have to be honest and truthful and real with yourself. And if you're not true to yourself, what are you manifesting?
Right.
And so it's the emotional intelligence is the foundation.
I love that. How does a person work on growing their EQ?
Well, I believe it starts, again, it starts in layers, because I always say that self-awareness and emotion regulation are the foundation. Mm-hmm. So you have to begin with self-awareness. How do you elevate your self-awareness? And it depends on your personality, because if you are the analytical type, there are things that you can do online to learn about yourself. Let me take an emotional intelligence test. Let me take relationship satisfaction tests, job satisfaction tests, things like that. So you can quantify it.
Mm.
But if you're not that kind of person, if you're more of an artsy feely kind of person, you don't want to take the test. You can really audit your emotions. Maybe you have a certain zone that you're in, like you're usually just kind of calm and chill, right?
Right.
So when you have emotions way outside of that, why did you have those emotions? And you have to intentionally think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so first you have to elevate your self-awareness. The reason why I was so angry at this is because it reminded me of when I was 11 and my teacher said this to me.
Oh, yeah. And how many people are that self-aware that they can just bam, do that? That does not come natural to most people.
And that's why it takes practice. Right. And for so many people, you know, I'm going to take it, you know, even before you get into building self-awareness and emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. there's something you have to declare to yourself. And this is what I tell all of my clients.
I love declarations.
It is, I deserve to be happy.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
Because even when we're talking about elevating your self-awareness, overcoming self-doubt, living a better life, you have to believe that you deserve it, because yeah. it takes action. It's a process. Like you just asked, how many people can just be that self-aware? It's a process. It takes practice.
It does.
And if you don't believe that you deserve to be happy, then you're not going to put real effort into the process.
Mm-hmm. No, and you're going to give up really easily as soon as it gets slightly hard.
Right. And taking it back to manifesting, people will read a book or they will hear a podcast or something and believe that it's easy.
Right.
Like, no. And so even when I see people post things online about their success, I went from broke to a millionaire, I will ask the question, how long did it take you?
Right.
And then I get answers, 7 years, 13 years, yes. 9 years. And then I think right. to myself, okay, well, what I'm doing, I haven't been doing for 9 years. So let me deploy a new level of patience.
I love
and
it.
That is self-awareness.
Oh, that's so good.
That is me recognizing I'm impatient because I'm comparing myself to people's results.
Yes.
Instead of looking at the process.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. So that's the root of it, is the self-awareness. And then the emotion regulation is looking at, when you get into the why of your emotions and how it impacts you, then you have to decide to do something about it. If you say something mean to me now, and I'm still mad 9 hours later, that's not your fault.
Right?
Why am I still mad 9 hours later?
Oh my gosh.
What did you do that was so harmful?
Right.
Maybe there's something else. Maybe I need to dig a little deeper. And for most people, what they don't understand is the reason they're so hurt and offended when strangers insult them is because the insult confirms a negative belief they already had about themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So if you say something mean about me, but I kind of already believed it, I'm actually mad because you noticed. When in reality, there's so much more to it than that. There's my emotions, and then there's your emotions. What are you going through? So we could actually be fighting with each other when we're both dealing with the same misery.
Right. And you know what? It wouldn't make you mad. If somebody said something mean about you that you thought was ridiculous, it wouldn't make you mad.
Right.
It only makes you mad if you deep down believe the same thing about yourself.
Right. And so you really have to dig through all of this. This is at the bottom. Like, we don't need to talk about manifesting if you're still at the bottom.
Right.
We don't need to talk about the beautiful roof on your house before you've picked the plot of land.
Right.
Right. So, and so when people say manifesting doesn't work for me, no, that's not true. It's these other foundational steps you need to put in place first. You exactly. want to manifest, a career in this, but deep down inside, you don't believe you're good enough to do it.
Yeah. You'll never do it.
Exactly.
You will sabotage yourself for the rest of your life and never reach that next level because deep down, you don't believe you deserve it. That's rough, but it's true.
Yeah, but the people who do believe and decide they want to manifest something in their life because they believe, they're willing to do the work.
Yes. And it is work. It is. Your brain, that is a muscle most of us don't exercise very often when it comes to, you know, putting in the mental work to change the way we believe, to change the way we talk. It's hard. And a lot of people give up because it's too much work.
It's too much work and it's also scary.
Yes.
Like, so if I'm thinking, am I good enough? I want to manifest a career on par with Tony Robbins or Les Brown.
Right.
This is a process to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Am I good enough?
Right.
And then as I start to get that answer, it gets scary. Then you come around and you're like, well, let me go back to school. Let me do something else. And it looks like you changed your mind, but in reality, you self-sabotage because of fear. Yeah, it can be scary because you ask questions you don't want the answer to.
Yeah, the truth can be terrifying sometimes.
But when I think about the truth, I also think about trust. When you think about, do you trust someone else? Like in relationships, do I trust you? What are we talking about? We're talking about, are you going to have sex with someone else? When we talk about trust in a relationship. But trust permeates through all of the different topics. So you say, oh, I trust my significant other won't cheat on me. But do you trust them when they say that you have the skill? Do you trust them when they say that you should believe in yourself, that you're good enough? It's easy to trust on the foundational level, but it's deeper when trusting what they say goes against what you believe. If I think I'm not good enough and you say that I am, then I start thinking of why you can't see the truth. Because I don't trust you.
Yeah.
See, that's a different level of trust that we don't talk about.
A different level. I know, right?
And so how many people that love you have to tell you how amazing you are before you trust and believe?
Right? Oh my gosh, right?
Yeah. Or all of the, are they all wrong and you're the only one that's right?
Yeah. Is everyone around you wrong?
Yeah.
And of course not.
Yeah, exactly.
But I so see that all the time. People don't believe how amazing they are, no matter how many other people tell them.
And I'm no different. Even the things that I talk about, the clients that I've dealt with, it was a long process of people telling me, you should do this and you should do that. And I'm thinking, nah, just right place at the right time, you know, and I kept making excuses.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just had to believe. I remember when I, the first time I got paid to speak at an event, I was excited. And I said, someone's going to pay me to speak at their event. And I had a friend that said, it's about time. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean it's about time? You know, she was saying, you always provided this stuff for free. And it's about time you got paid. And I was just, I'm like, okay, let me try awesome. To trust her.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm no different. It's the same process for me as everyone else.
We all have it.
Yeah. And so even when I think about manifesting and emotional intelligence, right, going back to the self-awareness, emotion regulation, the idea of me wanting to be, you know, a global leader in the speaking field, things like that, an international best-selling author, things like that.
Right.
There was the desire to do that. But then the self-awareness is when people say, you should write a book. You should do this. You should do that. And I'm thinking, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not good enough. And then the self-awareness is realizing my doubts are the obstacle between me and what I want to manifest.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, they are.
So I am my own barrier.
You are, right? We all are.
And so we don't talk about that often enough. When I hear people talking about manifesting and vibrations and so on, they will often say, do this because it's at this vibration, these higher vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
But the people they're talking about don't know how to do that. They don't know how these vibrations interact with their negative core beliefs, how it interacts with their self-doubt or their inability to get over what Uncle Bobby said when you were 7. You know, when your parents looked at your grades in 4th grade and they called you stupid, and that stuck with you, even though you know that your grades in 4th grade are not important.
Right.
They have nothing.
Really do not matter.
Yeah. And you know that, but you're stuck on that word.
Yeah.
And then the self-awareness enables you to realize being stuck on that word has created this core belief that you don't even know you have. That is the major obstacle for you manifesting the life that you desire and deserve.
Yeah.
We got to stop acting like these are all exclusive different subjects.
Mm-hmm, right? It's all intertwined.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. So I just, you know, like I said, I love to talk about it because I feel like so many people these days, especially, I think there's the book called The Secret. So many people have started podcasts and discussions after The Secret. And then there's so many people that are so fascinated by it, and they don't realize that their lack of self-awareness is why other people are manifesting greatness and they're not.
Oh, yeah. They wonder why the law of attraction doesn't work for them. It's right. working exactly the way the way they're making it work.
You're absolutely right, because the law of attraction, you are attracting what you want, and you don't realize that what you want is to stay in misery and mediocrity because that's what you're used to, because it's not scary. And so you don't realize that deep down inside you're getting exactly what you want, which is comfort. You want to be comfortable. You don't want to be challenged because of your self-doubt. You see, so the layers of self-awareness are so deep that you really have to dig into that before you do any of this other work. You know, it's like going to the gym. I'm going to set a new personal best in the bench press. But you don't even know what a bench press is. You don't know where the gym is. You don't know how your disabilities go with this, right? Things like that. You know, and I bring that up because for me as a disabled vet, like I can't run. And so I say I can't run. Technically, I can. The other day, I ran a total of over 3 minutes at 5 miles an hour in like one minute at a time.
Good.
And so other people would be embarrassed by that. But I'm thinking, you don't know how long it's taken me to get to these 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And so self-awareness lets you know you can't sit up there and be worried about what other people are gonna think about your progress, because they don't know where you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't worry about what other people think about us. That's just, that never works out for the best ever.
Yeah, I know. And the thing about it is, all of us that say that, because I say that, you say that, we've all dealt with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've all dealt with that. So when I say focusing on what other people think about you isn't going to be helpful, I'm saying that from my experience.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the book I read.
We have learned.
Yeah, like.
Through life. Yeah. It's not helpful.
There's things that I've been wanting to do forever, and I was scared what people think. And then when I finally do it, everyone that I'm afraid of judging me says, it's about time.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah, and my response is, so you don't think I look stupid? And they don't understand why I'm asking that.
I know. And you know what? When you worry about what other people think, most of the time you are projecting your own fears onto them. And they don't think anything close to what you think they're thinking. It's all you projecting your fears onto them.
Exactly. And then you have to dig into, why do you have those fears?
Right.
And for me, I've spent a lot of time the last few weeks digging into that. Good. Digging into, why is it that, and I'll tell you, the overarching question for me is, why is it that I never have time to do anything, but I never feel like I've done anything? What is going on in my life? Whoa. And so that's another self-awareness journey where I was thinking, I need to dig deep in myself.
Yeah.
What is going on with me? And it's a journey that never ends. No, but if you embrace the journey, then you embrace the growth.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
You should get a t-shirt made of that. Embrace the journey, embrace the growth.
It's funny you say that, because I've been thinking about starting like a clothing line with multiple different
ideas and
concepts.
I would have it.
A company logo on the back and a saying on the front. And the saying, of course, the first one is, you deserve to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
And so there's two of them. There's, you deserve to be happy. And then there's another one that says, I deserve to be happy. Because
I love it.
Even though I'm wearing it, when you see it, you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of anything else in your life, you said, I deserve to be happy.
Right.
I have a shirt that says, you are not alone.
Yeah.
And people just treat me different when I'm wearing that shirt. They look happy to see me when I haven't done anything different. Just the expression on their faces. And it's like, that is how simple kindness can impact our community.
Yeah.
But man, we have a hard time being kind to ourselves.
I know. I think we're our biggest enemies.
We are.
Our biggest critics.
And you can't be your biggest critic and at the same time wonder why nothing is manifesting for you.
Right. Those two things do not go together.
I want to manifest the love of my life when I don't love myself.
Right. How is that going to happen?
Right. And so then, why don't I love myself? Now we're digging into the self-awareness.
Yes.
And you have to figure that out so that you can then be mentally and emotionally available for the love that you manifest.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Do you like to journal to do that? Is that your process?
No, I've done some journaling, but I just, my brain is just always going.
You're a thinker, not a writer. You're a thinker, not a journaler.
And there are times where I think, I wish I wrote that down. I know I'm going to forget that, but I just, my brain is just always going.
Yeah. It's too fast for journaling. I get it. I'm a journaler. I like to journal. I like to take the time, plod through it, get it all written out. And then usually I go burn it when I'm done. So, so that I don't have it. I don't have no record of it, even though I wrote it down, because then I burn it when I'm finished. I'm a big fan of write and burn.
Write and burn. I didn't know that was a thing until just now.
It is a thing. It's awesome. If it's good stuff, you keep it. But when you're digging for the bad stuff, it's good to burn it, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Symbolically, let it go physically with burning, and it's awesome.
You know, I like that. I really like that, because you talk about physically letting it go. We hear all the time, you need to let it go. Well, how do I do that? Do I just say, let it go, let it go, let it go, like 5,000 times? Right? But so by burning it, there's, again, right, just like emotion regulation involves the entire body, letting it go should be something that involves all of you.
Yes.
Instead of your brain saying, let it go, but you're storing the pain in your gut. You know, so you feel it. So whenever you think about it, your stomach hurts.
Yeah.
Well, if I put all of it symbolically here and burn it, I physically let it go with all of my being.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank
you. I'm going to start telling people they need to burn more stuff.
Yes. Within reason. We have discovered at my house, my husband does it too, yellow legal pads. That paper burns faster and easier than any other paper we've tried.
Nice.
Some paper is really hard to catch fire. I don't know why.
We say regular
legal pads.
Okay.
Yeah. Regular. I don't know why regular paper won't catch fire as easily.
And the legal ones are the 8.5 by 14. You can put more stuff on there.
Yes, exactly. You can fit a lot more on there and it burns easier. It's a win-win.
Let it all go. I like it because it's kind of like the idea that if you were to start writing at the top of the page, about maybe about an emotion or an event.
Yeah, exactly. And you're
to just write out the process, the mental emotional process to the end of the page.
Yeah.
It's like you drew a map.
Exactly.
And then what happens is you burn the map, which is the same thing as turning off your GPS when you get to where you're going.
Oh, I love it.
I'm here
you're
now.
You're not going back there.
Right.
That's good. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. I don't need this anymore. I had to figure it out, right? Because you can think from this highway to this highway, but in reality, there's multiple exits and turns.
Oh, yeah. So
you need the GPS.
Yeah.
Just like saying going from misery to happiness. Well, I need the steps in between.
Yeah.
But once I get there, about one part of your life, right? You're not just, you know, 100% happy in all things at all times. But in this part of your life, you've been able to get through the turns, the obstacles, the detours in your map, and you've arrived at a happy place in this aspect of your life. You no longer need that GPS because you have arrived.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what you have to do is you have to acknowledge that you have arrived. And by burning it, you don't say, am I sure? And go back and look at it.
Right. Wait a minute. Am I sure I want to do that? Yes, you're sure. Throw away the paper, throw away the map, turn off the GPS.
Exactly. Because you're here. Acknowledge I'm here now. Now in this area of my life, because I've arrived here where I want to be. Now I can begin the process of manifesting the positive.
Beautiful.
Because I had to get from the negative to the zero, the negative to the null, right? And now that I'm here, now we can go from functioning to optimal living.
Yes. It's a beautiful process.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to your beliefs. You have to believe that you can get to the final destination.
Yes.
And you have to believe that you deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love declarations. You probably have used them a lot. It sounds like I have too. I sometimes call myself a professional affirmation writer because I do it for me. I do it for my clients. I have some posted in my Facebook group and I love it. I feel like they have made such a difference in my life. So I'm a huge fan of declarations.
Yeah, I love it too. And you talk about it making a huge difference in your life because when you make a declaration, either it's true or it's not. Like, we have to get away from the doubt and the indecision.
Right.
It's the declaration is I deserve to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The declaration is not, I would like to be happy sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is a huge difference.
A huge difference.
All right. And then you look at it and you think, okay, if I deserve to be happy, then what am I miserable about? And what can I do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
And when I say people deserve to be happy, what I mean by that is it's a like a state of being as opposed to an emotion.
Yeah.
So are you a happy person is different than are you always happy? Those are two different questions.
Very different questions.
Yeah, I can be a happy person and cry all night because I'm grieving a loss.
Exactly.
But being positive and optimistic enables me to see the light in the darkness or to create light in the darkness where there's none available already.
Yeah.
Love it. And if I deserve to be happy, I'm going to choose to create the light.
Yeah, exactly. Make that your default.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. When you say default, when you say make that your default, it's not like, let me go turn the on button on an app. It's practice. How do I make that the default?
Yeah.
By staying in the state of mind, by practicing, by recognizing that my thoughts or behaviors are not aligned with that default at this time. So let me change something up. Let me do something, you know. And distraction is a big part of emotion regulation. And I'll give you an example. When you lose somebody, right? And I'll use my personal example from when my mom passed away in 2019. Mm-hmm. And of course I was grieving. That's what children do when their parents pass away. And because gratitude had become a foundational part of my behavior, my personality, even through the grieving process, I would randomly remember happy times that I'm grateful for. Like the light at that point in time had no choice but to shine through because it became a part of who I am. And then the conscious thought was, what would my mom want me to be doing right now? Would she want me to be bawling all night? Of course, there are tears because I'm human.
Right.
And of course, I'm going to grieve. But there's a point in time where the grieving begins to subside.
Right.
And when it does, there's an opportunity for the light. There's an opportunity for gratitude or for love, for appreciation. But if that's not a part of who you are, you miss those opportunities.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to choose that. And then even going back and dealing with my family, I was able to be appreciative, right? So like I lost my mom. My mom loved my children, her grandchildren. And so when I saw them, I could remember the love my mom had for them.
Mm.
You know, and so that made the hugs a little tighter and a little longer, right?
That's awesome, yeah.
And so you can't just snap your fingers and be there. It takes practice.
Definitely.
It is a process. And I mean, think about the work involved in the process. You have to remember, you have to know that you are worth the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am worth the work. There's another t-shirt for you. I am worth the work. I don't know why I'm obsessed with t-shirts. I always think that, oh, you should get a t-shirt made. I tell people that all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's inspiring me because it's something I've been thinking about for a while. So even for you to say that, it's like, you know, I mean, to be honest, I mean, if you break it down, right, isn't that kind of a part of manifesting? You didn't know that I was thinking about it.
I had no idea.
Been on my mind. You've been bringing it up, which has been confirming, and we would not even be having this confirmation. I mean, this conversation, unless first of all, in one conversation, you mentioned that you had a podcast,
right?
And then after that, I thought I have something to offer,
right?
So it came with the positive thoughts in the first place. Mm-hmm. So we were right in position. And so now you bringing up t-shirts just is just part of the manifestation process.
Meant to be.
And it couldn't happen if I didn't believe that I had any value or worth. We wouldn't even have this conversation.
Yep.
So I love it. And that's what people don't understand is like, manifestation is not a concept or an abstract idea. It's action. It's action word.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. There's a process involved. And kind of like when you are in any kind of long-term race, whether it's a marathon, driving across the country or whatever, there's some things that you don't know you're going to come across, right? I mean, it can be bad weather, a hill, a pothole when you're running, whatever it is.
Right.
But if you've been working on yourself and preparing yourself for the process, you're better able to handle those obstacles when you get there.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this about running a marathon. If there is a pothole, a huge hole that you have to navigate at mile 5, you're not going to see it unless you get to mile 5.
That's true.
The obstacles are the path. If there's no obstacles, it's because you're not moving. Right? There's not a lot of stuff you're going to invest in front of Netflix. You got to.
No obstacles there.
And it's okay to do that. It's okay to enjoy yourself and do what's fun. But the thing about it is when you recognize that manifesting takes action, then you will know while I'm enjoying myself, which is perfectly fine. And everyone should do that. Everyone should take time to do what's fun just because you want to.
Absolutely.
Then you're like, okay, that was fun. I enjoyed the show or whatever. Maybe your kids came in the room and said, why are you watching this? It's so stupid. That's what my kids do to me. Like, why are you watching this still? But I know that I'm not putting in work at that time.
Yeah.
And I can accept that about myself.
It's your downtime.
Exactly. But then when it's time to do work, do the work.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're a fun guest. I like you.
Thank you. Thanks, cousin.
Hi, cousin. My cousin Charleston over here. What up, cousin? Well, before we go, I we didn't talk about this beforehand. I forgot. But before we go, I always ask my guests, do you have any gift or anything you would like to offer my listeners? If you don't, that's okay. And if you do, that's awesome.
Well, what I do is I do one-on-one emotional intelligence coaching.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so any of your listeners that wants a free 1-hour discovery session with
me,
just get in touch with me. And the way to do that, of course, you have my email address. You can just put that out there. info@charlestongittens.com.
Awesome.
Just reach out to me. Because I think a lot of people, especially, you know, people that think about manifesting, but they're stuck in the thinking stage,
right?
And they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I will help them break that barrier.
I love that.
Because the truth is, they own that barrier. It's yours to break. because it doesn't belong to anybody else. It's yours.
Yeah. Who else is going to do it if you don't? Nobody. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, someone just tells me and tells me, hey, I watch, you know, they watch your podcast and they want that free one-on-one session. They just You're come amazing. Get it. I'm available.
That's so awesome of you. That's very generous.
Thank you.
Well, I'll drop all your info in the show notes in case they didn't get it written down fast enough while we said it. But I think that's it. I think you're amazing. I'm really glad you came on today. And do you have any last words for the listeners before we go?
I'm just going to reiterate what I said earlier. For everyone that's listening, you deserve to be happy. And the truth is, you don't earn happiness. You don't buy it. You don't go get it. When you were born, when you took your first breath, you deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe you deserve to be happy now, it's because of external forces throughout your lifespan that have nothing to do with your value and worth. You've always deserved to be happy. And if you don't believe me, ask someone who loves you and they will tell you they want you to be happy. Understand that it takes work to elevate your happiness. And you are worth the work. And everyone that wants you to be happy wants you to do the work because they can't do it for you. But your happiness will be a blessing in their lives as well. So do the work, elevate your happiness because you deserve to be happy.
Love it. And if in the future you do make a t-shirt of this, you let me know and I will put that link in the show notes. I'll go back retroactively and put that link in there.
You know, so
they can buy the shirt.
You know, you saying that this week, okay, well, not this week, today's Saturday, so I only have a couple of hours left. Next week, there will be a t-shirt
sale.
Now I have to go find someone that knows how to make it happen.
You're welcome.
But there are people out there that know how to do it.
Absolutely.
And I'll get in touch with, I'll find someone and we'll get those out there because, man, can you imagine walking around being sad while wearing a t-shirt that says, I deserve to be happy?
No, it wouldn't work. You would be happy.
Yeah. You're happy because you said so. You're in control. It's your decision. I love it. Thank you so much for having me. You are
You're
the best.
You're so welcome. Thank you. You
made me feel like I should go meet more cousins.
Oh, yes. We're all awesome. I'll be Gaines' cousins. Oh, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will talk soon. I'll put your links in the show notes and everybody can go buy their t-shirt next week. I'm excited for that.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Have an amazing week. Thanks again to our guest, Charleston Gaines. And I will talk to you all next Monday at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time. All right, Queen of Manifesting signing off. Bye, everybody. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to my episode today. In the show notes, you will find links to today's guests or links or anything I have mentioned, including my Facebook group, my book, and upcoming events. Now, if you want to be at my next retreat, where we will break arrows with our throats and walk on fire. The upcoming one is in June of 2022. So check that out. I will put the link for that in my show notes. Also, we can sign you up for any kind of coaching program from breakthrough coaching to becoming a speaker to learning how to manifest. So those can all be found on my website. And I'll put the link in the show notes too. So thanks for being a part of this community. Come join the Facebook group and learn how to manifest all of your dreams. I will see you guys next time. Bye.